A few words on gratitude. I've been reflecting, as I usually do, on our topic. I've been reflecting on it for the past few weeks. And one of the things I noticed was at our last refresher day, which had the focus on letting go, I became very aware of the relationship between letting go and gratitude. And maybe that doesn't make any sense to you, but what I experienced was it worked in both directions, which was when I let go or let be, when I allowed things to be as they are, then there was a welling up of gratitude for just how it is. And of course, compassion and joy, these other things come up, but because gratitude was the next one, I just really notice that, and that might be something for you to notice over the course of today. The other reflection that came up for me a lot was the relationship between mindfulness and gratitude, which fits with the last piece I just said, because at the heart of our practice is this letting go or this letting be, this allowing, this accepting things as they are. And it's at the heart of gratitude. So it's a little lengthy, this quote, and I'm going to read it to you. It's from Matthew Frum. And he writes, "Just like love, gratitude can be experienced anytime, anywhere, independent of external conditions. As long as we are alive, we can always find something to be grateful for. By bringing our attention to what we already have and shifting us out of lack and into abundance, gratitude automatically makes us feel happier. And as we begin noticing what we already have, gratitude brings us into the present moment. Because gratitude helps us be in the moment, it is perfectly aligned with mindfulness. In fact, the two can be integrated so that our mindfulness practice becomes gratitude practice. All it takes is bringing an attitude of appreciation into our observations of the experiences of this moment, such as the sounds in our environment or the sensations in our body. For example, instead of simply noticing our breath, we can practice feeling a sense of appreciation for each breath as it arises and passes. In this way, gratitude can be a powerful enhancement to our mindfulness practice. Instead of cultivating cold, bare attention, gratitude helps us to bring more heart into the practice, making it more warm, enjoyable, and profound. Over time, as we learn to rest in gratitude through mindfulness, we can begin to discover that gratitude is actually our true nature. And we can begin to access and live in this inner sense of happiness and abundance more and more." And so, simply opening to what's here can give us a chance to actually experience gratitude. At other times, though, I think we have to purposely intend gratitude, and I'll talk about that in a short bit. And then that will feed back on opening us to being more mindful. So if we're opening to what is with an attitude of gratitude, well, it's easy when things are pleasant, as has been already said. But even when things are pleasant, in the busyness of our lives, we can forget to notice and take things for granted. And so when things are pleasant today, we're going to try to underline those pleasant moments, to not grab onto them and grasp after them, but to really savor them. More difficult is when experiences are neutral. So neutral experiences we often don't even notice. Simple things like our breath that is truly actually sustaining us, keeping us alive. And the fresh air that we actually have in this city compared to many large cities of the world. We have pretty fresh air here. And we certainly have clean water. And we have the earth beneath our feet. And we take these things for granted. They're just, it's just what's there. Or even the chair we're sitting on, the furniture. It's like everything becomes furniture, as it were. It all goes into the background. And the food that we habitually eat, we get habitual about eating food. And so bringing that attitude of gratitude towards our eating can be so helpful. These attitudes of gratitude are so helpful because it means that we won't miss out on our lives. We're not going to miss out. And of course, when it's more difficult is when things are unpleasant. We have a cold or other kind of illness, or we have financial troubles or troubles with family, or we just stub our toe, lose an earring, put a contact lens in the wrong eye. I actually had that happen. And I was on this overnight train from New Delhi to city of Varanasi in India, and I was really, really organized, making everything pleasant. and then in the morning, I reversed my contact lenses. And then I had no opportunity for quite a long time to fix it. And it was unpleasant. And I was in a place of being very committed to practicing, obviously, and 'cause I was on a pilgrimage. And so I did. And it really wasn't that bad. It was actually kind of interesting. It kind of reminds me of, some of you may have heard me read the poem, Monet Refuses the Operation. He's losing his vision, and as he loses his vision, the world becomes more and more interesting, and his sense of light and shadows becomes more fantastical and yet also more rooted in the truth of how everything's connected. And so, the world was a little blurry and odd. And it was, and of course, when I could, I did fix it. And for that period of time, it was okay. It was okay. And I am by no means a saint, that's for sure. And yet, it can be very helpful for all of us to remember times that were difficult and how we might have just hung in. We might have just hung in with it, and how Wendell Berry has this poem, how the darkness, it too blooms and sings. And I think back to when I had my appendix out, and how I was able to be very mindful of the pain and hang in with the process quite well. And I think it was one of those situations in life where the stakes were just so high that spinning off into worry and fretting, it was just so apparent it was going to make it worse. So just going to stay here. And I remember that as a time really of tremendous blessing, of being cared for in the hospital and then by people afterwards, and that was really quite amazing to me. And I remember too that like the flowers just kept pouring in, and it's like my daughter's girlfriend gave me flowers. I thought, are you kidding me? She was 16, and it was just such a beautiful surprise. So sometimes these horrible times in our lives, it can be terribly challenging. And I had a bad infection afterwards, so I got extra sick, really can bestow great gifts. And the other piece that happened with that was then, as a result of receiving so much kindness, generosity, the outpouring of gratitude from others, is that I wrote thank you notes later. And the thank you notes were such a gift to myself. You know, I just really just savored each and every person and their and what how they remembered me and helped me out. And so gratitude and generosity, they really feed on one another in a great way. And I won't belabor it, but I think everybody's pretty much aware that there's great research around gratitude. It's good for your well-being. It's good for your relationships, whether it be at home or in the workplace. Simple things like saying thank you make a difference, like employers who say thank you. Their employees are happier and work better. Couples who have a more positive attitude of expressing gratitude for one another not only have a more positive attitude towards the other person, but they'll actually feel more comfortable talking about difficulties, which we always have to do in relationships. And so this is something you can Google. This piece I got came from Harvard Health Publication, so Harvard Medical School, in praise of gratitude. So you can take a look at that. Some of these things, ways to cultivate gratitude, you already know. I've already mentioned writing the thank you note. That's a very powerful one. Whether you send it or not, and even the idea of occasionally writing a letter of gratitude to yourself. And many people keep gratitude journals, writing down 3 to 5 items a day. And it, and there it's important to be really specific, really concrete. So not just, oh, I really appreciate my daughter for the 100th time. But no, today what I'm really appreciating is that little twinkle in her eye when she laughs. So something very specific. The simple idea of counting your blessings, again, being very specific. Thinking of someone mentally and just having your good wishes towards them. And of course, prayer and meditation are also ways in which we can cultivate gratitude. And we'll certainly be doing a fair bit of meditating today. And then last but not least, I like these. I like looking at etymologies of words. And the word gratitude comes from the Latin gratia, which means grace, graciousness, or gratefulness, depending on the context. I like that, that, you know, when we're in a place of gratitude, we exude a certain grace. And I think that's contagious. Last but not least, here's a great quote from Einstein. There are two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle. And Emerson said, what's life but an angle of vision? And so we do have a choice to choose the angle of our vision, to open to what arises with a sense of the miraculous. Awe and gratitude so closely connected. And then we have a chance. We have a chance to be with not just what's pleasant, but also unpleasant. And not miss out on the neutral. Okay, so let's practice.